You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 10. We'll start there. I want to teach tonight on, we'll see where this goes, unity, our need for each other. You know, I taught a message about a year or so ago, or well, actually it's probably more than that, on the power of we, not us. And I mentioned the other day about having a corporate identity. You know, when you read the Old Testament, they knew who they were as a people. They were Israel. They individually had a relationship with God, and we do too. Of course, we're born again. We're partakers of the new covenant. We have an inheritance with the saints in light. We've been born again. We have what they look forward to in the Old Testament. We have Jesus, the Messiah, the one they look for to come. He's come for us. We look for His coming again, but we look back to the fact that He came. We have a New Testament, new covenant, new deal, new agreement, new contract. We've been born again. Hallelujah. Somebody. We've been washed in the blood, and we're Christians. We're believers. Individually. We're not going to heaven on grandma's coattails. We're not going to heaven on daddy's coattails. We know Him personally, Jesus Christ, ourselves personally. God has no grandchildren. He just has children. That's right. I understand that. But I think there is a problem, or we have to be cautious, especially in this country, when we really exalt and really praise and honor, and we hear stories of the individual's strength, the individual's will, the individual's efforts, the individual's hard work. You know, and I believe in hard work. I believe that part of the problem economically we're having in our country is because we're not talking enough about hard work. We're not talking enough about responsibilities and so on and so forth. You know, all this rioting you're seeing, these Occupy, what in the world is that? Putting up tents in city parks. What are they? They don't even know what are they occupying. What are they protesting? Protesting people that worked hard for their money and paid for those parks and paid for those trees that they're desecrating and all those things, and the country that gave them the freedoms. I don't understand that. I really don't. I think that we're here because people have pooled together and joined together, not because we've demanded of each other, because we've given to each other. But what we see many times is we lose a big group identity. We think of ourselves, or tend to think of ourselves, as just individuals. And I think we get in trouble when we do that. You know, an egotist is not someone that just thinks so much or so highly of himself. It's someone that thinks nothing of anybody else, that sees no value in anybody else. And that is so wrong. If Christianity should teach us anything, it teaches that everyone has value and everyone counts and everyone is important, and we need everyone. We need each other. I cannot make it on my own. I never have, nor will I ever be able to make it on my own. We thought that when we moved out of the house and got our own job. But you have to understand, someone had to provide that job. Someone made that car you're driving around in. Are you with me? We need each other. We're connected in that sense. And spiritually, it's no different. I know I am a Christian. I know I am washed in the blood. But I know who I am. But do I know who we are? Am I a we, or am I just a me? See, I believe in the church. I believe in the local church. I believe in the church universal. I believe I'm part of the body of Christ. I need the body of Christ. And I believe in the local setting. We need each other. My goodness, we couldn't. There's not a one of us could do what all of us are doing in Wills Point, Texas. There's not a one of us as a church could do what all the churches are doing in Wills Point, Texas. There's not a one of us city, Wills Point, with all the churches in it, could do what all the cities with other churches around the world are doing. See, so you just kind of, you know, just extrapolate that out, to use a big word. So, you know, okay, I love Jesus, I'm going to heaven, okay, fine, wonderful, but what am I doing about my neighbor? What am I doing? We've heard so many testimonies here today about reaching out to people and touching people and considering others and praying for others. And here we are coveting the prayers at prayer quest time of the group, corporate faith, us together, you know. We need to get a hold of that revelation. I am me, but I am also we. I'm International Outreach Church. I am the body of Christ. I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm part of a group. And I need this group. I need these Sunday morning services and these Wednesday night services. I need your prayers and your faith, and I need your input, and I need, are you with me?
Yes.
I need you. You need me. I can't make it on my own. You can't make it on your own. You're a much better person when we all get together.
Amen.
Amen. You know, you sharpen some edges and help me and where I'm weak, and I can strengthen and help you when you're weak, and we help each other. We hold each other's arms up. We join our faith together. We can accomplish so much more. We'll go so much further, hallelujah, together than we can apart. I think of Hallelujah Night. I think of our food ministry that we do every week. There's no one person that could ever pull that off. No one person could ever make that happen. Just this service tonight, you think one person made this service happen? There are so many people involved in just a service. You know, and then you go back. Let's go back through time a little here. You're sitting on chairs that someone bought and building that someone built, land that someone bought. And you know, years have brought us to this point for such a time as this. And the future is going to be determined by how we band together, how we join together. You know, there's an old saying. Y'all got Hebrews 10? I'll get to it in a minute. There's an old saying, actually it's Rudyard Kipling, The Law of the Jungle. And many of you will recognize this. It was an old saying. It says, "For this is the law of the jungle. It's as old and as true as the sky. And the wolf that shall keep it may prosper, and the wolf that shall break it must die. As the creeper," he's talking about a vine, "that girdles the tree trunk, the truth runneth forward and back. For the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack." I love that. That is so scriptural, though it's not scripture. You know, the strength of the pack's the wolf, but the strength of the wolf is the pack. So there's no leader that doesn't need the pack. There's no pack that doesn't need the leader. There's no one that needs doesn't need each other. Hallelujah. I'm going to go over some reasons here that I believe, just from, you know, looking at this, reasons that we need to get together. Here we are, you know, we're talking about that Thanksgiving service coming up, but here we are tonight in this church. And let's think about this from the 10th chapter of Hebrews. You'll know this verse. You probably know where I'm going with this. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another," or encouraging, uplifting one another, "so much the more as you see the day approaching." And he's talking about the day of the coming of the Lord. Jesus is coming. How many of you know that? Could be today. Don't know when it's going to be. No man knows the day or the hour. It may not be in your lifetime. It may be tonight. It may be. We just don't know. But we ought to live as if he were coming. We ought to look for his coming. And the more we see that day approaching, and this I do know, okay, this I do know. We are closer to the coming of the Lord now than 2,000 years ago. Pretty sure about that. I'm pretty sure about that. I would go a step further and say we're closer to the day of the coming of the Lord than we were yesterday. Okay? So the closer we get to the day of the coming of the Lord, the closer we get, we don't need to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So if I were just to think of some reasons why I need to get together, why do I need church? Can't I just serve God by myself? Can I just read my Bible and pray? Can I just... Well, you weren't made that way. You just weren't made that way, for one thing. But the most obvious thing is obedience. It's what God asked us to do. Now, if I didn't know anything else, I think that'd be enough right there. God said, do it, we ought to do it. Amen. Here's one good reason. Give me one good reason, preacher. Well, I'm going to give you more than one, but I'll give you one right now. One is just obedience. You just want to obey God. I want to obey God.
That's right.
And if he seems to think that I need fellowship and I need to assemble together with other brothers and sisters, that I don't know, I just kind of got this crazy idea that he's a little smarter than I am.
Praise God.
He probably knows a little more than I do. And maybe I'll get some benefit from this. You might say, well, I don't like people. Well, see, that's something you need to get over. probably don't like them because you don't see value in them. You know, like I said about the egotist, he's not someone that just thinks about himself all the time and thinks that he alone is important. He's someone who sees no value in anybody else. See, we think of the egotist just stuck on himself, but he's someone who does not care about anybody else. And that is so wrong. Man, I tell you, there's value in everybody. You know, as Vince Lombardi, he was coach. He said, individual commitment to a group effort, that's what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, and a civilization work. individual commitment to a team effort. Well, man, that's, hey, come on. It's my personal commitment to the cause of Christ. Woo. Isn't that right?
Yes.
My personal gifts, my personal talents. I don't have all talents, but I got a talent. I don't have all gifts, but I got a gift. I don't have what everybody else has, but I have what I have. And when I give that to God and use that for the cause of Christ, then that's a team. See, teamwork makes the dream work. I need to think of the team. I need to think of the cause of Christ here. It's not all about me. You know, all my gifts and all my talents are there. That's just God-given. I really can't control that. You know, either you're gifted or you're not. Either you can sing or you can't sing, or you can talk or you can't talk, or, you know, either you can run or you can't run, or, you know. We think about all those athletes out there. They're just gifted. They're gifted. They really didn't have any control over that. I mean, they can help that, and they can enhance it, and they can improve it, but either they got it or they don't. That's why you don't need to feel so intimidated, because somebody can sing and you can't. Somebody can draw or paint, you can't. Somebody can work on cars, you can't. And, well, you know, there's something you can do nobody else does. That's just a gift. That's just what God gives. That doesn't make anybody more important. My gift, see, is what God gives me. What I do with it is my gift to Him. God's gift to me is my talent or my abilities, whatever it is I have. If I've got a good mind, He gave it to me. If I've got a good personality, He gave it to me. I know y'all are thinking out there, boy, He's pretty gifted. Okay.
Especially with iPad.
Pride's one He didn't give me. That's one a sin I need to repent of. But yeah, He just wants my iPad. But what I do with my gifts, now, hey, that's my gift to Him. And you know what? Here's something you got to realize. God gave me, He didn't give me my gifts for me. He gave me my gifts for you. He didn't give you your gift for you. He gave you your gift for me. He gave you your gift for others. If you have a talent, it's for somebody else. If you are anointed and gifted, it is for someone else. I think of what Jesus said when He started His ministry. Luke 4 chapter, the 14th verse, it says, He came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. He went into Capernaum, He walked into the synagogue, opened up the scroll, stood up to read. In the 18th verse, 4th chapter, He says, He opened up the scroll of Isaiah. It says, and He quoted Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted." Now think about it. He anointed Him for what? For others. He anointed Him to teach and preach. Why? To the poor. He anointed Him to heal. Why? So He could just have healing? No. To heal the brokenhearted. To recover your sight to the blind. Bring liberty to the captives. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord. See, the anointing on us is always for others. The gifts on us are always for others. Talents on us are always for others. If you can do anything, it's God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to Him. Obedience. Man, I need to get together. Amen. I love that because in one sense, really, what's happening here, this is what happens when we get to church. And the larger a church becomes, now see, I know we like the small groups and everything, but you know, if it's growing, it's not going to stay small. People will add to it. But the larger a church becomes, the more talent it collects, the more gifts it collects.
Yeah.
And the more gifts and talents and it collects, then the more influence it can have on a society, on a community, on a city. I mean, let's face it, if we have a lot of young people, then we can have a young people's class, which we have a young adults class. If we have a lot of youth, we'll have a youth class. If you don't have a lot of youth, you can't have a youth class. If you don't have a lot of children, you can't have a children's church. If you don't have a lot of seniors, you can't have a seniors class. Are you with me? But see, the more you collect people, the more you collect talents and the ability to minister to certain groups. A church with 500 people regularly coming has more ministries in it and able to reach out to more people than a church with 50. That doesn't mean it's more important or better. We're all count. God loves small churches like He does big churches. Are you with me? But I believe if we all have this passion and this desire to help people, that we'll always grow. We'll always take on new ministries. I know in this church we've always seemed to take on new ministries. And you know, the food ministry is something fairly new. Last 2 years, a little over 2 years. It's just been phenomenal. You know, we had over 105 families come through Tuesday. We had 122 last week. Families. Not, that's families. That's not people. That's how many families we've had. Hallelujah night, we had over 2,000 and that showed up that we got to, you know, be a witness to and minister to. And I believe those will increase. I believe those numbers will increase as we get together. And no one person is making that happen. It's all of it. You say, well, I'm not really involved in all that. Well, you come here, you pray, you give. I mean, it's your part of that. Yes. Don't ever discount your part. Because we're all in this together. Amen. Teamwork. We're part of a team. We're a church. We're a group. We're a people. We are a people. And that's true, you know, if you're not even a member of this church. I'm talking about the body of Christ in as a whole, in general. And then, of course, local churches in particular, and then down to you as an individual. So, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, even more so, exhorting one another. And so much the more, even more so, King James says, as you see the day approaching the coming of the Lord. Let me give you another reason. Turn with me to, turn to Matthew 18, and I'll quote another verse. Because I don't want to use all your time up just turning to verses. I hope you're writing notes and circling this, underlining, do something. I may quote some other things besides Scripture, but it's the Scripture that counts. I may use some logic and some good examples and, you know, and may be very eloquent to my delivery, may be wonderful, but it's the Scripture that counts. You need to know what God says, amen? And if I can't back up what I say with the Scripture, just my reasoning and my logic and my thinking and my opinions, well, opinions are like elbows, everybody's got a couple of them. But what separates truth from opinion and truth from eloquence or truth from being a great speaker? You know, we elect politicians on how well they speak. It's sad. We don't really elect them on what they stand for or what they've done or hadn't done. We elect them on how good they look and how well they sound. And I won't go any further with that. But anyway, we need to go for substance, not symbolism, especially in church. My Lord, in church, of all places, when you're sitting here in the presence of God, and here we are, the children of God. We're here to hear from God. We ought to at least make sure we stay close to the Scripture. Are you with me? And so, by all means, listen closely when we quote Scriptures. Matthew 18, if you're there, just hold on. But I think a second reason why we need a corporate identity, that we need to know we're part of more than just ourselves. We need to get out of ourselves and connect and hook up with others. The second is a pretty obvious one, and it's for effectiveness. Because you're just not going to be effective by yourself the way you can with others. That just makes sense. First is obedience. Second is effectiveness. You know, Deuteronomy 32:30 says, how can one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? In other words, if two put 10,000 of us to flight, it's because God forsook us. If one put 1,000, it's because God forsook us. But it's an amazing principle that one could put 1,000 and two could put 10,000. You'd think, well, you know, one put 1,000, two put 2,000. That's not the way it works. Because when you hook up with people, you more than double. You don't just add, you multiply. I've done carpenter work for years. I mean, for years. I still do a lot of carpenter work. I've been a pastor for 30 years, so I've been doing lots of carpenter work. I mean, building buildings all around here, and you know, and I did that for a living, you know, before then. That was my occupation. And there are jobs that you can do, some jobs you can do by yourself. There's jobs that you can't do by yourself. You know, when you have a long board, someone has to hold the other end. When you're on the roof, somebody's got to hand it to you, you know. You can't do that by yourself. You say, well, I guess I could stack it up. I could stack it all up. Then I climb up on the roof and I pull it up. Yeah, you could do some things like that. You can't do everything that way. But some things it takes two people you could do by yourself. But there's a lot of things you can't even do without two people. And I'll submit this to you, that even if you had to stack all that up high enough for you to grab it from the roof and then climb up on the roof and then pull it up, it takes you more than twice as long to do it. So you don't just double your efficiency when you have a helper and two people work together. You a whole lot more than double it. Are you with me? You say, well, we just count man hours. We've got two people working. And it took us 20 man hours to do this job. Well, 10 hours apiece, you know, together. Well, if I did it by myself, I could do it in 20. No, you do it by yourself, it probably took you 30 or 40.
That's right. That's right.
And you, if you've been in construction or any kind of work like that, you know what I'm talking about. Because it doesn't just take twice as long. It takes a whole lot longer than twice as long. So just having a helper, you know, multiplies your efficiency. And think about this in prayer. Matthew 18, you found it? Matthew 18, 19, Jesus speaking, he says, if any two of you, he says, I say to you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask of my Father, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If two of you agree. Man, I love that. Can't I just believe God by myself? I think there are a lot of cases you can. I mean, I believe there's many scriptures that say you can stand on a word. But also, there's something here Jesus is talking about, agreement. There's power in agreement. That just takes it to another level. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Sometimes I need to take it to another level. Sometimes I need somebody to pray with me.
Yes.
And see, sometimes we've got so much, stinking pride. Just so much pride. We don't open up to anybody. We don't want anybody to pray. Well, I just believe God myself. I'll just pray myself. I'll just stand on the word myself. And the church is sitting out here that could be agreeing with you. You got brothers and sisters that are willing to join hands with you and pray with you and take you to another level. Hallelujah. And I mean, go right on through that obstacle that's holding you back. And our pride holds us back.
Yeah.
You ever been there? I've been there. Well, I just believe God myself. Oh, really? Not take advantage of somebody who could agree with you? I realize you don't need to open up everything to the church. I don't think everything's, you know, for public consumption, as it were. But there ought to be somebody that you trust, somebody you confide in.
That's right.
Somebody that you could get to agree with you. You know, maybe it's not that big a deal, but there are big deals that come along, you know, life's way. And there is efficiency, there's effectiveness, there's more power. Oh, hallelujah, when we get together. That's why I love these services. There's just a certain anointing comes in a service that just not there when you're just reading the Bible by yourself. Every once in a while it'll happen, but boy, when you get in church, man, you got everybody believing, everybody's hungry, everybody's looking, you know, for the anointing, and all of us together, man, I tell you, the power of God comes on the scene. So there's obedience, there's effectiveness, and Ecclesiastes, turn there. This is a good one. Talking about we need each other. You know, we get a revelation of who we are. Why? Why do I need to go to church? Do you have to go to church to be saved? No, you don't have to go to church to be saved. You accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. You're washed in the blood and you're saved. That's. But since you are saved, God did not call you to serve by yourself. God did not call any lone rangers. And truth be known, even lone ranger had Tonto. Kimo sabe. Me Tonto. He would. You know how many messes that Tonto got Lone Ranger out of? You ever remember watching that show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I grew up watching that show. I mean, I'd go to the matinee, you know, on the Saturday morning matinee and watch those black and white Lone Rangers. I'm not that old.
Wow.
No way I'm going to get out of this one. But I remember watching those. My daddy told me about them. And. Man, I mean, Lone Ranger, he was a hero. How silver. Who is that masked man? Well, that's the Lone Ranger. You know, we all that. I mean, I grew up with that. But how many times when I think back, man, Lone Ranger would get captured, he'd get tied up, and Tonto would come to the rescue and rescue him. Poor old Tonto, you never heard much about Tonto. But where would he be, you know? So even then that we say the Lone Ranger, he wasn't all by himself. He actually had the law on his side. He had Tonto on his side, you know. He needed others. You know, we sometimes are swayed, you know, with the movies and Hollywood, and you know, you just go in there like Rambo and clean house, you know, all by yourself. But life doesn't work that way.
Amen.
First of all, you can't just shoot everybody. You can't. Some people you have to deal with, you have to live with it. You can't just go around killing everybody. Okay. Third point here. It's kind of 2 points in one. I don't know if I'm not really big on points. I usually have just 1 point, you know, but obedience, of course, would be a reason effectiveness would be a reason. And then just benefit and protection is what I want to talk about here in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 4, listen to this, 9th verse. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. We talked about that, the benefit of that, and the increased effectiveness. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow.
That's right.
Kimo Zabe, me come help you. You know, he gets the Lone Ranger out if he falls. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath no other, or hath not another, to help him up. See, there's coming a time. You may be just rolling. I mean, Mr. Bluebird's on your shoulder. You are singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-dah. Everything is going your way. But in this life, in this earth, in this broken, fallen world that we live in, this sinful world, this dark place that you and I are lights in, there's going to be crisis. There's going to be tragedy. God doesn't do that. He's not doing that to you. But we are in enemy-occupied territory. There is a devil out there. You have an adversary, the Bible says, who hates you, is against you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, you might have more abundantly. He did say if you would resist the devil, he'd flee from you. And he said, resist him steadfast in the faith. But if you live here long enough, tragedy is going to come. A crisis is going to happen. It's going to happen. And you're not always going to be up. I've never been 100% hitting on all 8 cylinders every day of my life as a Christian, as a believer. Some days are more struggles than others. I don't know why that is. Some days I need a little help from my friend. Hello. I get by with a little help from my friend. Get high spiritually with a little help from my friend. I need that. So when you fall, see, if you don't have anybody else, no one to call on, no one to call on you, no one to check on, I'll tell you, there's a huge benefit from being a part of a group, from being a part of a family, and I consider church family. It says, when he falleth, he hath not another to help him up. 11th verse again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Boy, that's prophetic. I mean, think about how cold you get when you don't hang out with people and you don't fellowship with people and you don't associate with people, and you just get cold, 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 and hard, hard-hearted, you know. But, you know, people warm you up. You know, when I was helping in a youth group one time at Lakewood Church. John Osteen was our pastor for years, Joel Osteen's dad. And we went out on to, somewhere outside of Houston. We took the youth out there, and we were assisting with the youth. And Joe might have been in that group. Joe was one of the, may have been April, you know, the daughter April. But Joe was just a young guy when we went there. He was just a kid. But we went out, and we had a marshmallow roast, you know, and had a hayride and did all that stuff. And we had a little fire. I never will forget this. We had this little fire, and this the one that youth minister at that group there that we were assisting and helping out, he began to talk to him, and he pulled a little coal away. There's coals there, and he just knocked one coal out of the fire, and he began to talk, and he kept teaching. And as we talked, that coal just kind of died out. And he came back around in his message to that coal. He says, you notice how I pulled that coal out of that fire? It lost its fire. It lost its heat because it got away from the group. And he took it, and he just rolled it back in there, and you know what? It started turning red again. Started heating back up again. And I thought, what an awesome message that we get cold toward God. We get cold toward the things of God. We get cold toward each other. We withdraw and we get away. And we live in a world where it's just all about me. Isn't that right? I mean, you know, I thank God for technology in one sense. I thank God for all medical technology. I thank God for all these discoveries that to make life easier. But what has happened sometimes is we quit depending on each other. We go to work, we go home, we go in the house, we turn our TV on, we got 150 channels to watch. We got every kind of little device, iPads. I'm using mine for the glory of God, okay? I'm teaching, preaching on mine. And I believe we ought to use things for God. I believe television was made for God. It's made to preach the gospel. Are you with me? But what we've done, we've drawn away. We don't need each other anymore. We got everything else to fill our time and fill our... And so we don't have time for anything. We got our favorite television shows. Why? We record them if we're not there, and we go back and watch them later. You know, and we do some of that too. But that should not take the place of church. That should not take the place of us getting together and making a difference and reaching out to society and making a change, you know, and changing our community and reaching out to people. Hallelujah. Shouldn't. No, we need spiritually, we need more than that. That 12th verse says this: if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. Right. Let me tell you something. If you live long enough, people are going to lie about you. People are going to slander you. People are going to accuse you falsely. But if you have a community of faith and you've got a community of believers that loves you and trusts you and stands with you and prays with you, you know what? You'll survive it and you'll go right through it. I've been lied about. I've been lied to. I've been slandered. I've been run over. I've been bamboozled. But you know what? I've had people that love me and people that for me and people that believe in me. And I always had a family to go back to. I always had a church that stood with me. Anybody ever lied about you? It happens. It happens. I mean, you just have to trust in your friends and your family, Christian friends, Christian family. That's why it's so important that the people you do hang out with and do things with love God and that you're a part of this group. Hallelujah. You know, I consider in you a lot of ways more family to me than some of my personal family. You know, because I've prayed with you, I've sweat with you, I've lived with you, I've married your kids and buried your parents and baptized you. 30 years, going on 30 years, and it has been an honor. It's made a better man out of me. I'm a better person for this church. I am a better person for you in my life. Your gifts, your talents, your filling in where I'm weak, and me being able to minister to you when you're weak, and us making this thing happen. I'll tell you what, we have changed the face of Wills Point, Texas. And it's not over yet. We're still doing that. And there's a lot of churches doing it too. I mean, we're not the only one. But thank God we got people that decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to join up. I need other people. I'm going to serve God in a group. Hallelujah. It's made us stronger. Amen. And of course, the obvious thing here, the last point I want to get to, which may be the longest, I just don't want to get your hopes up that I'm going to quit right away, is just the limitations. Obedience, forsake not to assemble yourself together. Effectiveness, you know, one chase 1,000, two put 10,000 fly. Benefit and protection, you know, from picking us up when we fall and being warm when we get together. And then just the flat-out fact of limitations. You know, if the Bible teaches anything, 1 Corinthians 12, you want to turn there, 1 Corinthians 12, if the Bible teaches anything, it teaches that we are all uniquely gifted. I agree. But let me stop. Just don't stop there. If the Bible teaches anything, it teaches that we are uniquely gifted, but it also teaches that we are deficient. By design. I think God designed it that way. I don't think He made our weaknesses and made us deficient, but He spread out the gifts where no one had them all. And so, just by design, my gift's useless without yours. Your gift's useless without mine. It's only as we get together that we begin to shine and find our place and get to fulfill our calling and use the gifts that God gave us. Because I don't have them all, and I need you to be that effective. What purpose and what point and what good would it be to have a calling on my life to teach, to have a gift to communicate, to teach, to make the word come alive, you know, to put the pieces together and make sense of it. And what purpose would that gift be if there was nobody listening to me? If I was in a closet somewhere just recording my voice, what would be the point? It would be pointless. Are you out there? How could I do that without a people? How could I do that without a church? Now, what am I going to do? Get up and play the guitar and sing the songs and run down here and take the offering and give back in the bucket myself? I mean, it's like playing ping pong off the wall, you know? There's nobody else there. And you're the same way. You have gifts, you have talents, you have something to share. You know, it takes all kinds of people to make a church work. I know that. It takes all kinds of people to make a city work. You know, a city's not a mayor. A city's not a police force. A city's not a maintenance crew. A city's not a business. Man, I just named a few. It just keeps going on and on and on. A city is all kinds of people that have gotten together that make a city. Church is not a pastor. Church is not just a nursery worker. Church is not just someone who cleans the church. Church is not just praise and worship. Church is not just cameras. Church is not just secretary. Church is not just teachers in the classes. Wow. Man, you start thinking about all the people involved in church, it's a lot of people. But every one of us have different talents, different gifts. That's why you can't have, a church can't be a nursery. Because everybody's not a little baby. But a church needs a nursery. See, that's what, see, my job, really, my biggest job or challenge as a pastor is to orchestrate so that we're not a trombone and we're not a drum. Are you with me? And we're not a guitar. But to where I pull in the drum and I pull in the trombone and we kind of orchestrate and put people together. You know what I'm saying? And while I'm teaching here, there's a children's church going on. There's a youth going on. There's a nursery going on. Are you with me? And we're all coordinating. Coordinate. That's good stuff. I like that. And so, you know, maybe you like to clean the church. Oh, that's wonderful. I wish you did. We can use some more people cleaning church. But everybody's not going to do that. You can't get mad because everybody doesn't do that. You can't get upset because everybody doesn't work in the nursery. You can't get mad because everybody doesn't play guitar, because we need everybody. We've got to have everybody to make it work. And, you know, you're passionate about what your gift is, like I'm passionate about what my gift is. But everybody can't be a teacher. Everybody can't be a pastor. Hello. And I can't expect everybody to. It's all of our differences and uniqueness that make this thing happen. Hallelujah. And the comparison the Bible uses to us all getting together is to a body. Love that. Isn't that a great comparison? See, we kind of get the idea we got 100 people in this army of the Lord and we're all carrying the same weapon and all going the same step and all have the same uniform on. And if we lose one, we go from 100 to 99. So we just lose a number or something, you know. But really, that's not true. That's not the biblical example. The biblical example is more like an organism. So when you lose a number, you lose a function. If I lose a hand, I haven't just lost a member. Now I have, you know, 152 members instead of 153 members. No, I've lost the function of a hand.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you think of a family, it's that way. No one ever lost a number when they lost someone in their family. They lost a mama. They lost a daddy. They lost a brother, a sister, or a son, or a daughter. That's not a number. That's a whole person. That's a whole function that's not there. And I don't, if you've been through that, you know what I'm talking about. I'm preaching to the choir here. And so the church, if we get that concept, we're just a bunch of people, a bunch of numbers, and we have this many as opposed to that many. No. We got functions. We got gifts. And when one's missing, there's a gift missing. There's a function missing. So why do we need to get together? Because of our limitations and because of our gifts. See, because I need somewhere to function. I was made to function in a group. Hallelujah. I was made to function in a group. And you need to get together because I need your function. I need your gift. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, let's run over it real quick and we'll wrap this up. Does this help anybody? I'm just going over church. You know, I think about these things. Why? What's the point? You know, why? Why? I love the Lord. I'm a Christian. Can I just serve God by myself? Well, you can serve God by yourself. You're just not going to do a real good job of it. And you were called to do more than that. Every one of us were called to do more than what we're doing. But we get together and I'll tell you what, we are dynamite when we get together. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. I like that. So Christ is many members. One body, many members. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. I like that. That's why I say thank God for Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal. Thank God for Catholic. Thank God for Church of Christ. Thank God for people who name the name of Christ. If they believe in Jesus Christ, they are part of the body of Christ. And we are all members of that one big body. Take it down a little more locally. We got a local church here. So we're a body. Smaller body, you know, but still same concept. For the body is not one member, but many. I like that. I'm not the body of Christ. I'm a member of the body of Christ.
Wow. That's good. That's real good.
Okay? Get that? So when he's talking about this, he's talking about a group. Individually, I'm a member in particular. But as a group, we're the body. I know who I am. Do I know who we are? That's the question. Amen. Do I have a we mentality or just a me mentality? I should have this we mentality. You know, I'm a Williams. That's a family name. I got a family. I got a clan, you know. I got 5 children. I got 15 grandchildren. We're a group. We're a clan. We're the Williams. But even then, it's broken up into Cobles and Morgans and Birds. And hello. Because my daughters went off and married somebody and took on another name. That's the way it is, you know. But, I mean, we're a group. We're family. So we have this identity of a group. And every family should, you know. I'm an American. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. Thank God for this country. I love this country. I pray for this country. I'm not against this country. I don't hate this country. I love this country, and thank God for the freedoms we have in this country. I'm a United States citizen. I'm an American. Hallelujah. And that's a part of who I am. I'm a Texan. I was born and raised in Texas. 5 generations. Had 2 cousins die in Alma. Actually did, yeah. I mean, I go way back. I had people in Texas before the Alamo. So I'm a Texan. I'm a Williams. But ultimately, really, first, I am a Christian. I am a believer. That is one person, me, believer, in a big body, the church of God. And I'm a member of International Outreach Church. I'm not just a pastor here. I'm a member of this church. Amen. Amen. So it says, the body is not one member, but many. 14th verse, 15th verse says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, if the nursery worker shall say, I'm not the song leader, hello. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, obviously it's a rhetorical question. Of course not. Of course it's part of the body. The foot is much part of the body as the hand's part of the body. And you, just although you may not preach, and although you may not, you know, teach, and although you may not work in the nursery, all you may not be over the youth or the children's church or any number of things that go around here, you're still part of the body. Come on, you're a member of the body. Yes. You're the body of Christ. Yes. Get a picture of it. Hallelujah. We got something bigger going on here. You know, they walked in that automotive plant where they're building cars, walked up to this one guy and says, what do you do for a living? He says, well, I build alternators. And they walked up to another guy and says, well, what do you do for a living? He says, well, I build starters. That's what I'm building. They walked to this other guy that was, you know, he was just making wheels, you know, to go on a car, and says, what do you do? And he says, well, I'm building a car. The guy that had the vision, the guy that knew what he was about and saw himself as part of a big deal, was the guy building the wheel. In his mind, he was building a car. The alternator guy just thought he was just about alternators. The other guy thought he was just about starters. But really, it was all about a car. And sometimes we lose that concept. We need to get it back again. You do not see that kind of thinking in the Old Testament. I think, if anything, we've lost from the old. Thank God that we got out of the law. Thank God we got from under the law. We're in grace. Thank God we got saved. Thank God we're, you know, into the new covenant. But there is something we have lost. I when I read the Old Testament as opposed to the New, they had a sense of identity of a group. They were part of a nation. And they prayed for their nation. They prayed for Israel. They prayed for their, you know, they were the people of God, plural. We often, our prayers are just kind of individual. Just kind of about me. And we should pray for us. I agree that. But we should pray for us as a group, not just as an individual. Because we're part of a body. The foot shall not say, and cannot say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? 16th verse. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Of course not. Of course it's a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, wouldn't it be terrible if we were all the same? Thank God we're different. Well, they're so different. You know, that old saying, everybody's normal until you get to know them. Well, you're the same way. You know, you got quirks and jerks and, you know, you got that. And one good thing about church, it forces us to get along with each other, doesn't it? I mean, you can pick your friends. You stuck with your relatives. You know, one thing about family reunions, Thanksgiving's come around the corner. You know, you run into some wild and crazy people, but that's your relative, and you don't have a lot of choice. And everybody's got crazy relatives, you know, and they probably think you're crazy when you leave. You know, we all talk about each other, but, you know, you're forced in. Family does that to you. You know, you can't avoid it. You can pick your friends and pick all the people that just customize and custom, that just believe like you believe, and, you know, listen, same kind of music, same kind of, you know, just hunters get together and hunt, and fishers get together and fish, and women, I don't know what they do. But anyway, you know, you can pick friends and get in your little comfort zone, but when family comes around, you don't have that luxury. And I think one thing about church, it forces us all together. You got people all over the map. You know, this church, this is not a church that's built on class warfare or class. We've got people in here that, you know, that are upper echelon. We got people that are down and out. We got people at all different levels. And I don't believe a church ought to be white. I don't believe it ought to be black. I don't believe a church ought to be just rich people or just poor people. I don't believe a church ought to be just down and outers or up and outers. I believe it ought to be everybody. And I don't believe we ought to treat anybody different, because we all need each other and we're all important. We all count. I mean, if you just had CEOs in your church, well, that's, I guess, well and good to minister to the CEO, but who's going to take the trash out? Hello? Who's going to take the trash out? Who's going to clean up the place? I mean, you need everybody. Who's more important? Whoever's needed is more important. And you know what? We're all needed. That's what he's trying to say here. So look, we're like a body. We do different things, and we categorize it. We say, oh, that's more important, this is more important. Well, it's all important. I think everybody ought to be an ear, you know. I think everybody ought to be an eye. I heard a guy say one time, wouldn't it be so terrible if you walked in church and there was just a big eyeball on the chair? There's 100 of them out there just looking at you. Well, we need eyes, but we need ears. We need hands, need feet, need all those things. So he says, the whole body were an eye, 17th verse. Where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. It has pleased God to put you in this church. Whatever it is you do, whatever talent you have, and whatever your gift you can offer, you know, it's pleased God to put me here. God has put us all here together. God didn't just call me here as the pastor. Sometimes we think the pastor is the only one called. Actually, everyone's called. You should feel called to a body. You should feel called to a church. You should feel that you're set there, that God put you there. Just as called as the pastor's called. Hallelujah. And then he goes on. I got to close this out. Give me just a minute here. Hallelujah. Time. 18th verse. Now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body as has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And these members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Perfect design. I love it. God's made us all unique. Wouldn't have it any other way. You know what? Might as well be you. Everybody else is already taken. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you are you, and that's good, but you need to hook up with others. And we do not compete with each other. We complete each other. The hand's not competing with the feet. I have no desire to walk on my hands or to eat with my feet. My feet don't compete. My feet complete. And that's pretty sweet. Okay, I'll quit rhyming. But, you know, we're in this thing together. Get that identity. Get that concept. You know, here's another good quote. John Wooden, he was one of the winningest basketball coaches ever. Basketball's a game they used to play with a ball. They don't play that anymore because they're suing each other right now. It's the war between the millionaires and the billionaires going on right now. There's no season right now. Anyway, stop that. James Wooden, one of the winningest college coaches, said this. He said, the star of every successful team is the team. That's right. Individuals don't win games. Teams do. I tell you who the star of all that International Outreach Church has done here. Of course, it'd be Jesus. We know that. But other than Jesus, It's International Outreach Church. It's no individual. It's us. It's the team that wins. Amen?